family matters, trouble. The Apostle Paul told us that to those who get married, he said, your life's going to be full of trouble. Well, that'll just bless you from 1 Corinthians chapter 7, doesn't it? And it's kind of like the statement I heard or read on a card the other day, a little greeting card. It said, all marriages are happy. It's the living together after the fact that causes all the problems, isn't it? And so, man, welcome to Family Matters. I'm so glad that you are here. It's so glad to have a one family event, man. So, Sango folks, why don't we make our Tylertown and Dunbar Cave family feel welcome as well. So glad that you're here. And what a joy it is to fellowship together, to grow together. And in this series, we're going to talk about marriage. We're going to talk about parenting. We're going to talk about finances. We're going to talk about communication. Also, next Wednesday night, I'm really excited. We're doing a first time ever event here as a part of this. We're hosting a mental health night next Wednesday night. Such a huge deal. Has been for years, but especially coming out of COVID in our society and especially being in a military community, it's just a lot of mental health issues that we all deal with in our families at times. And so next week, my good friend, Pastor Pete Tackett, incredible testimony of just being healed from clinical depression and just what he has learned through that. And that's become a big part of his ministry now, is helping folks who are walking through mental health issues. And so he's going to give us some tools for how to cope with mental health issues in your family. And so, man, it's going to be an incredible 5 weeks, so you plan to join us, okay? Marriage. I want to share some thoughts with you, see if this rings true with you. Marriage is a relationship in which one person is always right, and the other person's the husband. Come on, men in the room. You know what I'm talking about? See if this is true. Marriage is finding that one special person who annoys you to death the rest of your life. Right? Does it feel like that sometimes? I'm going to get some men in trouble. I'm already getting amens on the bad stuff, right? Be careful. I tweeted this today. It's, by the way, 20th anniversary for Crystal and I today. So, special day for us. And five children later, and it's been a roller coaster ride. Amen? And so what a joy it's been. Winston Churchill, I tweeted this statement today. He said, the most brilliant achievement of my life was the ability to persuade my wife to marry me. Come on, guys. No amens on that one. Okay, well, listen. This is like 101. I can tell we've got a long way to go in these 5 weeks, okay? And so, little story here. There was a husband and wife that had been married for 60 years and didn't have any secrets except for one. And the woman, she kept in her closet, in the back of her closet, a shoebox that she forbade her husband from ever opening. But when she was on her deathbed, with her blessing, she finally said, okay, you can open that box. And when he opened the box, he found inside a crocheted doll and $500,000, $500,000. And he asked her, he said, what's this all about, all this money and this doll? And she said, well, my mother told me that the secret to a happy marriage was never to argue. She said, instead, I should keep quiet and just crochet a doll, and that'll help everything. And so he said, well, honey, that's so sweet, just one doll. I guess that means you've only really been mad at me one time in all of these 60 years. So what's the $500,000 for? She said, well, that's all the dolls. It's from all the dolls I sold, right? That's from all the dolls I sold. So we're going to do whatever we can, right, to make you happy. Ladies, especially in the room, we're going to help you with that in this series, okay? And so parenting. We're going to talk about parenting. See if this rings true for parents. How many parents I got in the room? Come on, parents. How many grandparents have I got in the room? Come on, grandparents. Yeah. By the way, give it up for our grandparents in the room. Aren't you glad they're here with us? After our middle discussion time, we're going to have a couple of discussions. Well, actually three, an icebreaker tonight, but then a couple of discussion times as well. After our middle discussion time, we're going to give away a couple of gift cards tonight for dinner and a movie, right? Dinner and a movie. And one of them is going to go to the couple who's been married the least amount of time. The other one is going to go to those of you in here, whoever's been married the longest amount of time. So we'll do that giveaway here in just a little bit, okay? But parenting, see if this rings true. Having children's like college, isn't it? You're up all night perpetually broke and have no idea what you're doing. Can I get an amen on that? Parents in the room, feels like that, doesn't it? You never realize how weird you really are until you have kids that act just like you. It's a hard thing to like know you're looking in the mirror at one or two, specifically like in our house of our children, like for me. That's kind of hard, you know, to see. A good way to prepare yourself for parenting is to talk to your furniture, because kids have about the same listening habits, don't they? I mean, that's parenting advice. And dads, by the way, why is it that the good children, when they're being good, they're always our wives, but when they're being bad, whose are they? Ours. You come home at the end of the day, let me tell you what your son did today, right? Wait a minute. Why isn't he yours? Right? Well, he's yours right now because he's being bad. He's acting like you. Okay, well, fine. We'll handle it. If evolution were true, moms in the room, then how come you don't have more than two hands? Right? You ever thought about it that way? You know, you need a whole lot more to carry on and do what you do for the family. Grandparents in the room. Grandkids. Man, they're grand, aren't they? Come on, grandparents. Look at that. That's right. Hey, grandchildren are God's gift to you for not killing your children. Isn't that right? And so, hey, what a blessing the grandkids are. And so, over the next 5 weeks, we're going to have a ton of fun together. Okay, we're going to have a lot of fun together. I want this time to be encouraging, fun. I want us to laugh. I want us just to let our guard down and just enjoy ourselves. Can we do that? And with that said, I want to give you just some statements here as we get started. First of all, the goals. What are we trying to accomplish in this series? This is not in your booklet. By the way, on your tables, did you see Session 1 booklet tonight? If you got it, hold it up. Go ahead and grab that book, hold it up. Session 1 booklet. And keep these. You're going to get a new booklet every week we come in, okay, with new material. So keep all five of them, and you'll have the whole series. We are planning, when this is over, to actually publish this or put it out on, I think Vimeo is where our tech team creative guys said they plan to put it out, and through a link where we can make it available to folks who want to go back through, walk back through this material together. But this is not in your booklet, so write these things down. Goals. Number one, our number one goal, listen closely, in this series, Family Matters series, is relational connections among couples. One of the quickest ways to have your marriage, or easiest ways for your marriage to fall apart, is for you to get disconnected from other Christian people. And so it's intentional. As you come in and you sit around these tables, as we have these discussion times, our prayer is that there would be some deep relationships that would be formed for God's glory that would then extend beyond these 5 weeks for really the rest of your life. Because we need one another. Isn't that right? Come on, church. We need one another. So, relational connections. Number two, we want to give you some tools for your toolbox. Is your marriage going to be fixed in 5 weeks? By the way, when we say your marriage being fixed, every one of us need our marriage fixed. Come on. Be honest about it. It's maintenance. I've made this statement before, that marriage is like a car. If you wait until it breaks down to maintain it, you're going to be in a mess. You got to maintain it along the way. And maintenance being with love and communication and grace and growth and humility and all these things we're going to talk about. But we're going to give you some tools for you to apply and to begin to make a part of your marriage if it's not already a part of your family life together. So we want to give you some tools for your toolbox. But let's be realistic. Listen to me. What happens here has to be taken out, doesn't it? It's not just going to completely change everything in 5 weeks. The process will begin of us growing in our marriages, but we got to take it outside of here and continue to apply. And then number three goal for this series is life transformation. And so maybe some of you are hearing the reason that your relationship, your family, marriage, these things may be struggling is because you don't know Jesus. And I'm not saying if your marriage is struggling that somebody's not saved. I'm not necessarily saying that. But that certainly makes a difference, doesn't it? And so you may be here this evening and you've never surrendered to Jesus as Lord of your life. And that's what it means to be saved, is to submit to Christ as King over your life and receive the Holy Spirit. That's salvation. Jesus, you are King of my heart. God, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Come live inside of me. Jesus, live in my heart. So those are our goals. If you're with me, say amen. You with me? Okay, those are our goals. Ground rules. All right, you want some ground rules? Here we go. Here's some ground rules for the next 5 weeks. Number one, laugh. You got to laugh. You got to learn, all of us have to learn to be happy. Be happy. We're going to talk about mental health next week, and I'm not saying that you can just get over some of those mental health issues by just being happy. I'm not necessarily saying that. But we sure do need to learn to laugh at ourselves in this culture, don't we? So many people are so easily offended. It's so important that in our marriages and in relationships that we choose joy. Just choose to be happy. Don't think so highly of yourself all the time. I have to be reminded of that all the time. I'm just another man, imperfect person on this earth. And so, laugh. Number two, this is a judgment-free zone. So as we have discussion around tables, listen, no matter what you've walked through in the past, no matter what you're walking through right now in your life or in your marriage or with your kids, this is a judgment-free zone. If you plan to walk out of here and have conversations about other couples and all their issues when you leave this place, you might as well pack your stuff up right now and leave. Did I say that hard enough? I'm serious. This is a judgment-free zone. God's grace is sufficient. Whatever you've walked through and whatever you're walking through now, listen, God's grace is sufficient. We're not here to judge or condemn. We're here to deal with what's in front of us. Amen? And just to depend on the Lord and say your grace is sufficient. So let's move on. Number three, transparency leads to transformation. Tonight's your first night. You're just getting to know each other. You're going to be able to kind of move around if you'd like to and sit wherever you want to each time you come in. These are not assigned tables necessarily or anything like that. But I would ask you to consider and make it a matter of prayer that as we walk through the next 5 weeks, just say, God, I pray that you would show us another couple that we can get open and honest with. And some of that process will start in this room, and then it'll flow outside of here where you're praying for one another, encouraging one another. And so transparency is what leads to transformation. So number four, personal responsibility. I love it when people come up to me after like a Sunday morning service and say, Pastor Derek, that message was so good today. I sure wish my neighbor was here to hear it. I sure wish my husband would have been here today to hear that. Well, and it's going through my mind, well, what about you, right? So we're not here. If you take this material and you walk out of here and say, did you hear what the preacher said tonight about you? Or, honey, did you hear what he said about what you ought to be doing around here? I mean, if you walk out of here and that's your attitude, come on now. You have totally missed it. So ground rules are what's going on in my heart. We've all got stuff to work on. Amen. Come on now. We've all got our own stuff. So let's start with personal responsibility. Okay? Couple of encouraging truths. And then we're going to have a quick icebreaker around the tables. Okay? Couple of encouraging truths. First of all, singleness is not brokenness. I know we've got some single folks in the room. Being single doesn't mean you're incomplete. It doesn't mean that you're lacking or you're insufficient. In fact, the Apostle Paul said in the same passage where he said there's a lot of trouble in marriage, he went on to say, I wish you were as I am, single, because I give my full devotion and my full 24/7 time when I'm not resting to the ministry of the Lord. And so singleness is not brokenness. So I want to encourage you in that. There's a lot of great truth that's going to come out of this for single folks as well. As we talk about relationships and finances and communication, next week, mental health stuff. I mean, all of this is going to be beneficial for each one of us. And the Bible says that there are those who God gives a gift of singleness to. And so just know that and rest in that. Singleness is not brokenness. And then number two, encouraging truth. You ready? Decisions determine your destiny. Decisions determine your destiny. God's grace is available. It's there. But what are we going to do with it? Am I going to appropriate it? So in other words, come on now. Past is gone. Anybody else grateful for that? We talk about marriage and relationships and all the junk. Do we need to learn from our past? Come on now. And Pastor Pete may very well talk about some of that next week with mental health stuff especially. But We're not going to sweep the past under the rug. We're going to learn from it. We're going to grow from it. But past doesn't define me. Come on now. Even our, if you're a child of God, even your present brokenness doesn't define you. Our future home in heaven is what defines us. Come on now. The gospel defines us. And so rest in that. So our decisions determine our destiny. Okay, what I need us to do now, table host, folks that are committed to be table host leaders, will you stand for me? I need you to stand. If you don't mind, please, we've got a bunch of table hosts throughout the room, deacons, trustees, leaders, family group leaders, faithful folks. I want to give it up for all of these table host leaders that are willing to lead. All right, listen to me. Here's my challenge. You can grab a seat now. Here's my challenge to you. It looks like we've got most tables that have a good number of folks around them. But what we want to do now, we're going to have a 5-minute icebreaker. Get to know each other a little bit. Introduce yourself. Okay, if you're at a table where there's only one or two couples, you may want to consider coming in together with another table that's only got one or two couples so that you've got sufficient discussion going on. Okay, so your call, no pressure. We're all adults in the room, but just a suggestion. Okay, so let's take the next 5 minutes. Here's your icebreaker. You'll see it on the screen. Introduce yourself. Where are you from? How'd you meet? How long you been married? Tell us about your kids, your grandkids, and what's your favorite memory of your relationship? Okay, go. 5 minutes. Resource. All right, let's dive in to the day everything went wrong. Everybody say, uh-oh. Come on now, uh-oh. Yes. Day everything went wrong. Genesis chapter 3. I'm going to move through this very quickly because our kids workers would really, really, really like us to get our children tonight. Okay? This is our first night, so we're having to kind of gauge what to do and what not to do. We'll probably adjust a few things next week on the schedule. But all right, the day everything went wrong, the fall. Genesis 3 verses 1 through 7. It says the serpent. Now let's read this one in its totality. Okay? This is original sin. Adam sinned and it passed to all of us, and all of us now are separated from God. Born sinners and need salvation. And this is where it started. Serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God actually say? So Satan loves to attack the word of God, doesn't he? And so did God actually say, you shall not eat of any tree in the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, you shall not eat of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. But the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. So now he's making her think skeptically about the character of God. When you begin to doubt the word of God, all of a sudden, you also in turn soon begin to doubt the character of God and of who he is. And it says, you won't die. God knows when you eat of it, your eyes will be open. You'll be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw the tree was good for food, right? Lust of the eyes, a delight to the eyes there. And the tree was to be desired to make one wise. Lust of the flesh, boastful pride of life. She took of its fruit and she ate. And she also gave some to her husband. Now, guys, what in the world is he doing here? Who did God give the command not to eat of the fruit to? Adam. That's why the Bible says the first sin was not Eve's, it was Adam's. Right? Sin entered the world through one man, Adam. Romans chapter 5. So, what's he doing there? He's abdicating his role, not of control over his home, not of lording over his home, but of serving his home. Leading and saying, hey, let's not do that. Sin right. And so, she also gave some to her husband who was with her. He's listening to it all and he's being silent. Passive. And he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were open. They knew they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. What went wrong? Number one, you ready? We're going to move through this quick. They believed lies over God's word. Now, keep this in the context of your family. Marriage, kids, finances, all the stuff. Family stuff. Are there a lot of lies that we begin to believe in our own minds about stuff that we let the devil throw in our mind? Come on now. That cause fear and anxiety and worry and bad decisions, emotional decisions. There's a whole lot of lies that we believe. And so it's imperative. Satan is the father of lies. He's the accuser of the brethren. And so he wants to bring that misinformation.
He wants to plant those lies in our heart and in our mind. And so we have to learn to take those thoughts captive. So that's where it starts, right? Lies, believing lies. So we've got to be careful with that. They believe lies over God's word. Number two, you ready? Does this sound like marriage? They put feelings over faith. Hello. Does that sound like our marriages and relationships? Putting our feelings over what may be right? Right? Well, I have every right to be happy. No, God's called you to be holy. Right? You ever heard that statement? Now, does holiness lead to happiness? Come on, church. Yeah, there's joy in that. But it doesn't mean all the circumstances are always going to be favorable. It doesn't mean, like, are there days where you don't feel like you love your spouse? Come on now. You know what? Yes. I got a few like fessing up front right here. We're getting after it, right? But that's true. There's days where you don't have those warm fuzzies. Like, you know, you say, I do. And then from there, you know, struggles start to come and there's feelings that get mixed in. There's hurt, there's pain, there's offense, there's anger, there's all that stuff that starts to work its way in. And so they began to put their feelings over their faith. Adam and Eve wanted to eat the fruit. Satan tempted them by playing on their sensitivities, the human part of them. And so he appealed to the physical flesh of them. It looked good, it felt right. Life is about choices over circumstances, isn't it? And so we can't just live by how we feel. Don't just follow your heart, follow your gut. The Bible says that we first and foremost submit to Jesus and submit our heart and our feelings to Him by faith. So what does God say about this? And just trusting and knowing God your way is best. So don't trust your feelings. Okay, number three. They put also reason over responsibility. Now, what do I mean by that? Certainly, you know, you're going to be reasonable in your marriage. There's a lot of logic that goes into this. I don't mean that. The idea of reason there is the idea of justification. Are they justifying? As you go on, I encourage you again to read Genesis chapters 1 through 3. They go on to justify their sinfulness. And so instead of remembering the responsibility the Lord had given them to not eat of that fruit and to follow Him, they justified their own flesh. Why can't we have it? It's the best tree in the garden. Why can't we eat from it? What's the big deal anyway? I mean, are these things going through their mind? Possibly. So everything God created, you listening? Everything God created is not ours to enjoy. Everything God created is not ours to enjoy. Everything God commanded is ours to enjoy. And there's a difference. There's a difference. And so the commands of God, what are they? They're invitations to experience God's best for your life. That's what God's commands are. It's God inviting you into His best, inviting you into joy, inviting you into peace, inviting you when you trust Him. And so they put reason over responsibility. So what happened? So, see if this sounds like some of the stuff that comes up in our marriages. Number one, shame. Does shame ever come in? Yeah. And when sin begins to enter the picture, we begin to shame one another. We begin to feel ashamed before others. We don't want to admit struggles that we're walking through. And we're all broken. We all have to work on relationships. We all have these things and issues to walk through and work through. So shame comes in. Genesis 3:7, they sewed fig leaves together and made loincloths. They're trying to cover it themselves. That's all the stuff that we do in life to try to cover up our sinfulness and find fulfillment. We're sewing fig leaves, man. It's just fig leaves. And so shame comes in. Number two, struggle. Are there struggles in marriage? A little bit of contention? Oh, the rest of your line. Yeah, you don't want to fess up tonight. Oh, there's some contention, right? So there's contention that comes in marriage. There's going to be some struggle there. The woman, right? I will multiply your pain in childbearing, you know, he says there. And then to Adam, he says, you shall not eat of the ground, right? You'll be cursed or the ground is cursed because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Toil, hard labor. So there's struggle that comes as a result of sinfulness and came in because of that. But also, number three, separation. Separation. And so they were cast out of the garden. And he said, from the dust you came, and to the dust you shall return. This speaks of physical death, doesn't it? And so as a result, they were separated from God's presence, which is a picture of the second death. But also they were separated, or they had physical death that came from the dust. Dust you shall return. And so sin brings death. So separation, does sin, when it gets into our marriages and our homes, when we allow these things into our hearts and our minds, we believe these lies and we put our feelings over faith, we start to justify our decisions. I mean, doesn't that cause a lot of separation in the home? It does, doesn't it? So what did God do about it? Let me give you this and then we're going to move to our last time of discussion. What did God do about it? What did he do about it? Number one, he gave a Savior. I gave a Savior. Genesis 3:15, I'll put enmity between you and the woman. He's talking to the snake there, to the serpent, between your offspring, her offspring. He shall bruise your head, you'll bruise his heel. So it's the messianic prophecy, isn't it? Listen, there's one who will come, who will bruise your head, who will defeat you forever. And it's talking about Jesus who would come. Also, not just a Savior, God also made a sacrifice. What a beautiful picture of the blood of Jesus that was to be shed for us on the cross. It says in Genesis 3:21 that the Lord God himself made garments of skin for Adam and for Eve. Now, if it was skin, what does that mean? It was previously on an animal. So they saw, I mean, they've been in the garden, perfect connection, unbroken connection with God. Adam's named all the animals. I mean, he's become as intimately acquainted with the animals as is humanly possible. It didn't fit that need, that deepest need. So God created a helper suitable for him, made the woman. But there was some connection there, wasn't there, even with the animals. And so they saw this animal slain to cover their sin. And it was a picture of the blood that had to be shed to cover and atone for their disobedience. And so too, Jesus went to the cross and paid our sin debt. He covers our sin when we trust in him through the shedding of his blood and his resurrection over the grave. So what did God do? He gave us a Savior and a sacrifice through the Lord Jesus. Sin was the problem and a sacrifice was the solution. And here's the deal, right? We talk about original design, but back to the beginning. Every family problem is a sin problem and Jesus is the solution. It's a gospel issue. Not trying to say tonight, just because you got struggles in your marriage, you're a big sinner and throw condemnation on you. But that statement is true, isn't it, right here? Every problem in the home is a sin problem. So, again, personal responsibility. So I got to own it and I got to step back and say, wait a minute. What about my attitude in this? What about my focus and perspective in this? What about the way I've spoken or acted? And so we got to take personal responsibility. And the good news is, see the grace in that, right? There's grace in that. Because when we run to the cross and we say, Lord, I've messed up here, he covers. He didn't expose them, he covered them. Isn't that cool? He didn't say, well, you're just going to run around naked the rest of your life. He covered. It's a picture of the grace. He said, no, I'm going to cover this now with a sacrifice. And so too, his grace covers. His love covers us.